The Lord's been all too kind to us. He's laid out His plan, His pattern, His purpose, provided a way for us to come back to Him again. And this plan has been laid out from the beginning of time on this earth. We come here in this battle to fight sin that so easily besets us in our daily walk. And we look to our first parents, Adam and Eve in a garden, and what their choice they made to partake of the unforbidden fruit, and that sin became present on this earth, and they were cast out. And it was in that sinfulness that they were revealed. And it was they felt they had to cover themselves. And as you know, they covered themselves with leaves or other plants, and eventually, after they were out of the garden, they found that they still needed to cover themselves. And what did they use? They used leather. They used skin. You see, that meant that there must have been a sacrifice for the covering of their sin. Is why they had to cover themselves, because of that sin had entered in and their agency was used. And I read for you now from the last book and the last chapter of Moroni. Speaking to you, saints, what the Lord says to one, He says to all. And awake and arise from the dust, O Jerusalem, yea, and put on thy beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in Him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is His grace sufficient for you, that by His grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ, and deny not His power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. If you noticed in there, he talked about power. We in our agency like to control things because it gives us power of what's around us. It gives us the power to choose and what we want to influence us and to be around us. But so many times that agency, I feel, in my life can be pulled away from the rod of iron, the Word of God. And the world's always pulling at us, saints. And we come this morning to remember that pathway the Lord trod, and that rod of iron, the Word of God, and His Son, Jesus Christ. And I read to you the power that God gives you from the 45th section of Doctrine and Covenants, the second verse. Hearken, O ye people of my church, and ye elders, listen together and hear my voice while it is calling today, and harden not your hearts. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to the priesthood. He's speaking to all the church. And the Lord says, I came into mine own, and my own received me not. But unto as many as receive me gave I power to do many miracles, and to become the sons of God. And even unto them that believe on my name gave I power to obtain eternal life. And even so I have sent mine everlasting covenant unto the world, to be a light unto the world, and to be a standard for my people and for the Gentiles, to seek to it, and to be a messenger before my face to prepare the way before me. The Lord has given us a way. For He says, I gave you power to obtain eternal life. But there's a sacrifice that is made in that. And we know that the Lord has prepared the way and He's shown us what it takes. But so many times, as we look forward to this table, we come to remember that promise that is made to us. We come to remember the promise that we made to our Father in heaven. To say, I promise to keep the commandments. And today, when you partake and you reach forth, you're witnessing that promise. To those here in the house of the Lord, and to our Father in heaven alike. And we know that this struggle of the natural man is ever present in our life. And so it is that we continue to listen and hear how the Lord has called us to be engaged in this battle of sin that we fight. And we hear in the third Nephi, the 12th chapter, starting at 25, where the Lord is telling us about His gospel. And He's telling us about the way and why He came and His purposes. For He says, Behold, I have given unto you my gospel, and this is my gospel, which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross. And after I have been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father and stand before me to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And the Lord has given us this pattern, and He's given us an example, saints, of how to live our life, of that preparation that we are to make in coming to Him, and that through Him we are made pure and clean in this gift of repentance. And in a world that so many times has this political correctness that nothing can be wrong. Everyone is right. But the Lord says He has a standard. And He set that standard up on the cross that you and I might be drawn to it and have a better understanding of this life that we are called to live in this battle against sin. The Lord said also in the 13th chapter of 3 Nephi how we are to be. That's you and I. He says, Therefore, what manner of men ought ye to be? Verily I say unto you, even as I am. And now I go into the Father. Many times, and maybe some of you and your family have recognized this, that when someone of prominence in the family is passing away, maybe it's the patriarch of a family, the loved ones and the family gather around. For what? To hear their final words, blessings, the knowledge that you gain in the process of the humility of life. And here we have captured in the 13th chapter, after Christ had ascended and had been with His people in the land where He was crucified, and He came here to the lost tribe. And some of the last words that He shared, we find here, what manner of men ought ye to be? Verily I say unto you, even as I am. And so we are called to be like Christ. We are called to cleanse ourselves, and that our will is to do the will of the Father and not the will of the flesh. And that if we do these things, that there is a promise that if we lay down our life and we sacrifice not for our gain, but for the gain of the kingdom. So many times, this struggle of life, We strive to cleanse ourselves, that we might be made clean and pure, that we might seek that promise of eternal life. But it might be that we challenge ourselves to see that our life has more meaning than just with us, that it impacts the lives of other people, that it impacts the lives of so many people around about us, that we have opportunity to share our life. And so the salvation that we seek isn't only for ourselves, but it's for the kingdom, that we come together as one body in Christ. And we learn to serve. And we learn to serve one another as we serve our God. We see in John the third chapter where the Lord has given us this pattern that He speaks of. And He talks about life, putting our life down and allowing others to be placed before us. Starting at the 14th verse, it says, "We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whereby perceive we the love of Christ, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue only, but in deed and in truth. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth this commandment dwelleth in Him, and He in him, and whereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us." He has promised us the Spirit that carries us through the trials of this life, that we would understand that His love abounds beyond the torment that we find in this world. And we find that the Lord Jesus was asked many things by His disciples. But I find it quite interesting what's captured in the Scripture in Matthew, the 6th chapter, where we see out of all the things that might be captured, of the disciples might ask the Savior, is captured, "Lord, how do we pray?" And there in the 6th chapter of Matthew, we're given the Lord's Prayer and a pattern in which we are to follow and how we approach the Lord. But I want to draw your attention to the Scripture directly following the Lord's Prayer. Right after He gives them this, He says, verse 16, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, who trespass against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And here's the word, "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses." That Scripture carries a lot of weight, a lot of promise, and direction on how we are to seek out our Father's forgiveness, and we are to make preparation for the days that we live in. For this struggle that you have of sin is the same struggle that I have. And as soon as we put the guard down and we stop striving to do as Christ did and live a life like Christ lived, we allow opportunity for the adversary to come in and entice us. We are told in Scripture that you and I will be enticed, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And then our agency comes. What shall we choose? What shall entice you? Those things of spiritual, eternal value? Or those things of temporal worth that so often come into our life? We see a lot of torment in the world and conflict, and those that would even find leadership in this land of providence that the Lord set His hand upon. And we can find that in about 36 years ago, a man was called to lead this country. In doing so, in inauguration of the presidency, he placed his hand upon the Bible. And oftentimes they're given a scripture to pull from that and place their hand on that scripture. And on January 20th, 1980, this verse was read. And it's so ever true even now. And maybe even more so as it was then. From 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. In 1964, that same gentleman offered a speech about the freedom of this country and the importance of it. If you would so allow me, I took the liberty to change these words. For here he's speaking to a country, but our Heavenly Father is speaking to all the world. Freedom comes by great sacrifice by everyone. For we know that the greatest sacrifice was of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the fullness of this latter-day gospel is a hope of man, the hope of Jesus Christ. And it is, saints, you and I, and we're engaged in this gospel for the betterment of your people, that we do so, that the youth are looking at you, and they're looking at me, and they're depending on us to purge the sin from our life first, that we might be prepared to serve. And in efforts to prepare the way for Christ, we shall not fail. For if we do fail the celestial law and the Zionic conditions we are called to live under, I pray that our children and that our children's children might say of us, Zion wasn't established, not because we didn't try. Let them say of us that at least we did all that we could, that all that could be done in the moment allotted to us here in our probationary state. And so it is we live out this probationary state of trying to find a better understanding of God's work in our life and how it is that He wishes to bring the kingdom here to this earth. And we oftentimes try to take this on ourselves, but we find that it is the Lord that prepares the way. We read from the 19th chapter of Matthew, the 26th verse. But Jesus beheld their thoughts and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but if they will forsake all things for my sake, with God whatsoever things I speak are possible. The Lord's provided a way. He's given us love, the love of His Son, Jesus Christ, that we might truly come to Him and that we might have a better understanding of how we are to love one another by laying down our lives and preparing ourselves to be used as a vessel. But we must cleanse ourselves from this sin as we're here today to remember. And I leave you with a portion of Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and ever forevermore. I pray that in these final moments of preparation, we might individually and collectively reflect upon our lives, those things in our life that we can set aside, that sin that so easily besets us and draws us away from our Heavenly Father. And I find it a privilege, saints, to be yoked up with you in this cause, in this battle for righteousness, to cleanse sin from our life, that He might bless us in this endeavor. that this effort might be used for his kingdom and might be used for the betterment of his saints.